Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
I have some announcements here.
All right.
Our next Zen Cooks workshop, Sunday, June 21st, will offer a nourishing time for body, mind, and spirit, as well as some flavorful fun with an enchilada recipe. This introduction to vegetarian cooking provides support for the step-by-step preparation of a simple meal.
And I happen to have eaten those enchiladas, and I will tell you, nobody wants to miss this one, okay?
Oh, they're yeah, delicious. I love enchiladas.
Well, and these are stunners. So you go from, like, you know, learning a recipe, and, you know, if you're an old-timey cook, that's one thing. But if you're kind of new to the game, then this is one where you can invite somebody over to dinner, feel really good about it.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yep. Exciting. Yep. It's true.
Mm-hmm. And registration is now open for two of our most popular programs. Reflective Listening Buddies is a powerful, compassionate way for participants to practice moment-by-moment presence for 30 minutes each week. And Keeping Commitments Buddies pairs participants with a buddy for accountability and support in keeping the commitments that conditioning so often talks us out of doing. And both programs begin a new quarter on July 15th.
Yep.
And
two more. Don't miss it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And a few reminders for tonight. If you'd like to get in the queue to talk with Sherry, please press *6 and then 1 to make a show. And a conversation of about 5 minutes and on one topic is fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go, Sherry.
All right, thanks, Michael.
Thank you. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello. This is Andrea.
Hey, Andrea.
Hi. Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, great, great.
Yeah. I said, hey, Andrea.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just calling for some guidance on some content that I've been working on for quite a long time.
Okay.
And actually, I heard a caller today who was on the 2026 retreat call with what I'm projecting is a similar type of situation to what I'm dealing with. So it really spurred me to feel like maybe I could call in tonight. And my situation is that I have been dealing with my son, who has been very depressed, and I've been very worried about him, and he's been moved back home with us, and he started on antidepressants. It seems like he's doing better. He went to visit a friend, but for a long time he had just been at home, not leaving the house, and basically just, yeah, not leaving the house for months, and having other behaviors that I would characterize as dysfunctional. And so I've been really struggling with that. And I just guess I want to continue the conversation that I had heard this morning regarding what I project as a similar situation. I've been doing a lot of work with interviewing, using practice tools. And in addition, I have been feeling like I need additional help. So I have a therapist I've been talking to weekly, as well as reaching out to some other groups, and also attempting to use some psychological techniques like cognitive behavioral therapy to kind of enhance my awareness practice of what I am dealing with and trying to work on myself.
Okay. And so what do you want from practice?
I'm not even totally sure. I guess I just, what I'm struggling with is that I feel like that when I am face to face with these behaviors and with him, that I get very triggered, and just triggered in terms of feeling tongue-tied. And like right now, our relationship, we really, he's been very withdrawn, and I feel like I don't know what to say to him. I feel very awkward. I feel very anxious.
Okay.
And
and so what was the guidance that the other person received that you related to?
I think they were relating to...
What did you relate to about the guidance the other person received?
I don't know. I just felt like, I guess what I related to is just feeling triggered and the guidance of working on themselves and not trying to deal with the situation when the person dealing with it isn't the right one for the job.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, you know, I hadn't been thinking of it that way, but I feel like, maybe that's what's going on. Partly is that I don't know if the right person for the job is there. And
well, I can answer that one for you.
Yeah.
It isn't.
Right.
Yeah. So I think I know what you're responding to, and so here, this is the deal. You know, you can understand everything on the planet, right? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter a fig if you can't implement it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And yeah. So here's my best projection. Somebody is out there, probably the person that I'm talking to right now, somebody is out there trying to gather all this information, trying to figure something out, trying to get the right answer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the person who's actually in the situation is completely inadequate to the circumstances.
Right.
Can you sense that there are two different people?
Yes.
Right?
This is helpful.
So the one trying to figure it out is trying to make herself feel better.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't do anything for the person who is stuck in that situation with no ability to cope with it at all.
Right.
Yeah. And so here's my best encouragement. That the interviewing technique would be extremely illuminating, I'm sure, if you talk to the person who is in that situation and got really clear about the fact that she needs not to be in that situation. Okay, she's probably slightly younger or maybe a good deal younger than your son.
Mm.
Okay, emotionally. And mm-hmm. and she's stuck there trying to deal with this situation. Okay. The other person who is trying to get enough information to make herself feel better about the situation is also not helpful. Okay, so interviewing her to just get a sense of who she is and what she's up to, that'd be great. Because here'd be the great secret in that. You might have a chance of disidentifying from her. You might actually step back enough to realize that that person is not, in quotes, you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's just another aspect of the personality. So far we've got three aspects of the personality, right? Your son, the one who tries to deal with him, and this one who's going around trying to figure something out. Okay? So what would be really helpful, what is essential, what is the only answer to this situation and every other place where a person is suffering, is to disidentify enough to get back to a centered place. That's it.
Hmm.
Because it's only from a centered place that there is available to us the compassion for all of these people, as well as an understanding that they are doing the best they can, and they are, in the case of the aspects of your personality, they're just not the right person for the job. With your son stepping back and realizing that all of your projecting onto him, and that's from, you know, person number two looking for answers,
mm-hmm.
All of those projections onto him don't help you, and they certainly don't help him. So from center, there's a possibility, there's an opportunity for us to actually be a help in the situation, but only from there. And there's no amount of understanding that it's like you're a swimmer, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if somebody wanted to, they were desperately trying to understand swimming,
mm-hmm.
and they're watching videos and they're reading books and they're talking
right.
to people, and what would you say to them?
You got
to
do
it. That's right. Put on your little swimming suit and get in the water. Okay? And that's the where we are with this. You have to, you know, practice can't give you any information that's going to be helpful if you don't implement it.
I guess I'm wondering, I have been doing interviewing and the two-handed recording, and I feel like I have been doing a lot of practice, and I've been, you know, I made a recording. The last time we talked, you mentioned a recording of I Choose Compassion, and I've, you know, been doing that, and I've been listening to guided imageries and things like that. I guess I feel like the person who's trying to figure out the belief is that person, I think that person believes she's helping the one who is having to deal with him.
And she isn't. And she really, truly isn't. Because what you're very aware of is that somebody does all the practices
mm-hmm.
and is nowhere to be found. The practitioner,
mm-hmm.
if we have a practitioner, is nowhere to be found in the situation.
Hmm.
We need you know, even if we go for an aspect of the personality, we need a capable, competent, dare we say, centered grown-up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, somebody who can be there with a cool head for all of these people, not getting identified with the situation and just going into the, oh my God, this is, what am I, oh no, it's this, and the to go into the story, but actually able to stay there.
Mm. Yeah, I guess I have been definitely identified and probably not even knowing. You know, I was thinking that the person who was trying to figure it out was the one who was, you know, the practitioner or the one who was trying
right.
to help the situation.
That's right. But the practitioner would be one who is practicing going to center.
Mm. And by going to center, like meditating,
well,
there
was a wonderful demonstration of it on the call this morning, And where the person was talking about being out in nature.
Oh,
and,
uh-huh.
Okay, and what it felt like to be out in nature and then getting around people and losing it completely, right?
Yeah,
and the guidance,
yeah.
the encouragement was to stay with that feeling. Imagine it as opening an aperture. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And that's what you're practicing. You're practicing staying with that expanded awareness. There's no other understanding. There's no technique. That's it. It's only when we can disidentify and come back to center and be in presence with whatever is going on, right? So it's the who do you want in an emergency? You know, somebody who panics and starts yelling help, or the person who can stay there, breathing, clear-eyed, right there, paying attention and listening to what now?
I think I see what you're saying. So instead of being totally identified with that person who's triggered and helpless, rather being centered enough to at least have some distance from it.
Oh, and practicing, so that in every interaction, your focus is not on your son and the story and her, and your focus is on staying present, on the breath, staying here. Now, the voices in the head will say, this is not doing any good, you can't do it. Well, you probably weren't a good swimmer the first time you got in the pool.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, thank you.
You are so welcome. Take good care.
Okay, gosho.
Gosho.
Thanks for joining us, Andrea. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please, let me click another button here. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Janice in Victoria.
Who is this, please? I'm sorry, I missed that.
It's Janice in Victoria.
Oh, hey, Janice.
Hi.
Hey, Janice.
Hi. Thank you for all the guidance to all of the people, and there's always something I see, and I just saw something there. And I wanted to just make a quick good news report. I've been loving the Best Shape Possible. And you gave me the suggestion to just break down my intention to do the yoga that I don't get around to doing as often as I've been thinking. I would like to do it more than once a week, and just to do it in 15-minute little bites. And it's really, really helpful. And it's really fun. So even in the middle of something, if I'm watching the video and the 15 minutes comes up, I just pause it. And that's it. That's that's where I am. And
make Gus show, say thank you. Thank you for the teaching.
Yeah.
And there you go.
Yeah, and it's just like having other kinds of alarms and reminders. And you know, doing working meditation or anything else, and just, oh, this is time to put it down and send my text. And because I've tied it in, of course, with the buddy that we had.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
So, and all those things too, like even to have done it and forget to send my text, I get to see that, or it's almost 5 o'clock, and I know I could do it later, but it's almost 5 o'clock, so I have to say I just didn't do it today, and no feeling bad.
Yeah, it brings so much conscious compassion and awareness, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah, in all those ways that I want to do it, I really do, and I'm going to bring conscious awareness to how I do it. I'm gonna keep my commitment. I'm gonna do what I said I was gonna do, and if something happened and it got away from me and I didn't, then I'm gonna say I didn't. No shame.
No punishment. And I'm not doing the upping it. Oh, I can do that now, and now I'm going to do more and more, and now it's going to be 5 days a week. And, you know, it's just I'm keeping it at the fun level. And even I'm actually even enjoying the insights of when it doesn't happen, how it doesn't happen. Really, it's just incredible how all the things that I would like to have happen don't happen because of some voice distracting me about something else that seems immediate, and it's not. But I get to say, okay, the A-B test, you know, this time I'm going to do whatever is distracting and see what happens, and or the other time I'm just ignore it. And it's a very playful way to work with something that's so meaningful. And will we be able to continue this? Because
I believe we are. I've heard a rumor that we are going to continue up until Vallombrosa, and then we'll see after Vallombrosa. Yeah,
that's super. Okay, Gassho.
All right, Gassho. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
Oh,
go ahead.
Right. Well, thanks for joining us, Janice. that's what Michael was going to say. Janice reminded us she started us out with the good news, and I think I have correct intel that we're not having good news tonight. Is that? I think folks weren't able to make contact, and so did you get that message?
Let's see. Oh, I just see it right now. There we have it.
Yeah.
Thank you for letting me know that.
Yeah. You're very welcome. She just reminded us.
Yes.
Very helpful.
Great. And Janice, I cannot mute you, so if you could mute yourself or call back in, that'd be great.
She's very quiet. She knows we can't mute her.
Yes, and that brings us to our next caller. All right, here we go. Next caller. Oops. There we are. You are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Anne in Washington State. I am so happy to be with you.
Well, it's lovely to have you. What's going on?
Oh, my heavens. I feel like I'm being showered with gifts all around from practice. And I wanted to ask you about a duality I feel caught in. And but I feel like I got guidance from the last call about last two callers about how to work with it. So, since I was unmuted, I'll put it out anyway. I feel like I've been vague about this in the past when I've come to group, and I want to try to be as specific as possible because I think specificity will help see through it. I find myself, you alluded once to this years ago when you said when you were at the monastery, you found yourself wishing to be in the Bay Area, and when you were in the Bay Area, you found yourself wishing to be at the monastery, going back and forth. So I find myself kind of like unmoored, like I have this debate with myself. Or, of course, that's interesting. Who is the I and who is the myself who's having the debate? I'm just listening to myself talk, and I'm like, about what am I doing here? I don't know anybody. Why did I leave California? Should I go back? No, if I go back to California, I don't know anybody. I don't know where to go. I don't know where to be. And it's just kind of this round and around in a loop she goes. And it's not a, you know, I remember once, we were doing a role play for TINW once at the monastery, and this is how it feels. I was standing there, and I wasn't feeling very good, and there was literally, it felt like there were two people on either side of me arguing. One of them was saying, I felt like I needed to sit down because I was just not feeling well. You can't sit down. That's the most absurd thing. You've got to participate, you know, stand up. And the other person saying, well, you don't feel good. Sit down. And they're going back and forth arguing, and then finally, my body just slumped to the ground because it had no choice other than to do that. But that's what it feels like, that there's these two people having this argument, and here I am in the middle going, I don't know what to do with this. Does that make any sense, Sherry?
Yeah, yes. But before we go on to break this down, one of the things I want to make clear is when I said that about I'm in the Bay Area, I want to be at the monastery, I'm at the monastery, I want to be in the Bay Area, what I meant was, what I discovered with that is, not that I was dissatisfied with where I was, but that wherever I was, I wanted to stay there. I didn't want to leave.
Oh!
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I did not get that at all. Oh, okay. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So the way it would work for me is, I especially, you know, when I was flying so much, that not so much the Bay Area, that was just commute, but, you know, the East Coast, I have to get on another airplane. Oh, God, I don't want to go. 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 Then I get there. I love it. God, this is fabulous. It's so beautiful. I love these people. This is great. It's time to go back. I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back. Part of that is, you know, I don't want to have to go to the airport. But anyway,
I get you.
I just wanted to clarify that. But for you, what you're up against is, it sounds like it's wherever I am, I'm getting information that's not where I want to be or need to be.
And I clearly see that as a whole dissatisfaction. Because, you know, I get up in the morning and I look at these incredible scenery. I'm just like, I mean, it's not like I'm not seeing where I am. It's like, oh, my Lord, this is the most gorgeous place on earth, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And so then what it tells us is it's about something else. Right? There's something else going on. Now, it could be as straightforward as a duality. That if ego can't get us, you know, a story that's going to drag us into dissatisfaction really does need a duality.
Yes.
Because otherwise, you know, if it's just, I hate it here, I hate it here, I hate it here, I hate it here, it wouldn't be long before you said, I'm leaving here, right? but I don't know anybody, what am I doing? And then about the time you think, well, that's true. You know, I should just go back to California. Oh, no, Anne, that doesn't make any sense at all because you don't know anybody there either. So
and the whole reason I came here, blah, 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 blah.
That's right. So it occurs to me that just seeing that for what it is,
yes.
And for all of us, almost all the time, you know, whatever story we're hearing in conditioned mind is only there to make us suffer. It's never about the content. Never.
Yes.
I don't care how hooked in a person is to the content. That's not what it's about because those voices do not care.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if we get clear about that, then we can guess that this is simply a way to keep you distracted, to keep you involved in, you know, it's like the sit down, stand up until finally you just collapse. Because all the life force is going to this useless debate.
Yeah.
All the attention is going to that. So if you recognize that and stop doing that, then it's gonna create an opening, right? So what are you gonna do with your time and attention if it's not doing that? And it's just very possible that whole thing is designed to keep you from really being with yourself where you are and really learning to enjoy your life exactly as your life is.
Yes, I suspect that's the deal, that this would be going on no matter where I were.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
And so with that, I think the thing that we can know and that you can therefore expect is that when you stop giving your life force to that, it's going to open up possibilities that are not available, not because they're not here, but because you're not allowed to see them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's what I need help with because I see this all happening. You know, I'm pulling my attention back. Okay, what is there to be grateful for? I'm going to count, be grateful for. What, record, listen to the, you know, and it's, the key there is stop giving your life force to that. And I guess there's a belief, I feel like I'm in this struggle to not do that, which of course is what's keeping it in place.
That's exactly right. That is so it. And so I'm going to suggest this to you, okay?
Okay.
It is possible for you to be happily here where you are.
Yes.
While that's going on.
Ah.
So it's that image I always use of, you know, there's a TV playing in the next room. Okay? You can't turn it off. It's somebody else's TV. Right? And so you have two choices. You can either obsess about it and be miserable, or you can learn to keep your attention so focused on what you want to be attending to that it's just irrelevant. It probably wouldn't disappear, but you just don't care. Yeah? And so I think, again, what this brings a person to is, okay, then what do you want?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? What do you want? And again, there's an opening with that we're not allowed to explore. And I'm not suggesting you need to make openings. I'm suggesting the openings are there, but you don't see them because the attention is on these other things.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Sherry, you lost me. I was right with you on the TV's playing in the other room. You can be happy where you are. I lost you on what do you want? Because that feels like it feeds it, but I don't know. Maybe I'm...
Well, so you could start with, I want to be happy.
Yes.
Okay.
So I want to find joy in this morning moment, even if that's regardless of whether the TV's on in the other room or not.
That's exactly right. And so you have to get really interested in Anne. Okay. Not as a personality, but as the only experience of life that you're going to have. Right. And so your experience of life is through her. Mm-hmm. And so to get really interested in her experience of life. With me?
I think so. I think so. I'm definitely going to listen to this again. I will say that the last part, the very last part of, I mean, the whole thing was fantastic, but the last part of the beginner's mind retreat, and this is nothing new, it's like the carpet is beige, but when you said at the end that we have to learn to disidentify into center, not into another personality, because any self-improvement is self-hate, and any content improvement is self-hate. That was just so helpful because I think it connects with what you're saying. To just be with, the TV is on in the other room. How do I experience life through this being, I think is what you're saying. And how do I find joy in that experience?
You absolutely are. And everything that you're seeking, everything all of us seek, is in the moment. So the first conversation was about that. We have to get here. We just simply have to. Now, the realization that I don't need to stop that conversation in small mind in order to be here and be happy. I don't. That's not a requirement. And so I'm here. I'm here. So what is that? What does this feel like? What is the experience of here? Yeah. And it's an inward focus that is the opening to all of the possibilities. Because as you're there in that place, this is my prediction for you, okay? As you're there in that place, something is going to drop in for you. It's something that you're interested in, something you would like to do or get involved in or explore or whatever it is. It's going to drop in, and you will pursue that. And then something else will, and something else will. And you'll realize that there's an interest and a curiosity that is there that hasn't been there before. Because when we're constantly doing the same thing over and over and over, having the same conversation in our head over and over and over, there isn't anything new. Now, life is new in every single split second. But if I'm in the same conversation, I'm going to miss it. So as soon as we get here, everything opens up, and there's so much that's interesting.
Wow. Yeah. And there's that conditioned belief that the key is to change the content or change yourself rather than to be here, go inward, and experience the newness.
That's right. That's right. Wow. That's the duality, right? The problem is with them. The problem is with me. And when we realize that, now we're looking in a wholly different place, a wholly different direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it feels like a koan to me. It's like, oh, okay. Yeah. I'm like, oh, wow. Like today in yoga, my teacher was adjusting me, and I said to her, I have no awareness of what you're trying to do to my body or how I'm supposed to, zero. I mean, not that I can't turn my attention to it and pay attention to it, but it feels like, wow. I mean, I hear what you're pointing at, and it's like, wow, I really need to practice this because there's a part of me that doesn't know how, but that doesn't mean I can't do it.
That's exactly right. And that's an incredibly important insight because you'll keep being in that posture. Your teacher will keep correcting you. And what you're learning to do is stop the, I don't get it, I don't understand, mm-hmm. I can't, any of that sort of thing. And you just become fascinated with what is it? Where is that? And soon you'll feel it. You'll sense it. You'll know what it is. And the difference will be there. And that is true across the board with everything. That indeed is koan practice.
Well, I'm going to listen to this. Thank you very much, Sherry.
You are so welcome anytime.
Wow. I'm so glad I got on. Thank you very much.
Me too. Thank you, Anne.
Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks for joining us, Anne. And I was tracking right along there, Sherry. That was fabulous.
Okay. Oh, good. Good, good. I'm so glad.
Yeah. Good. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, Sherry and Michael. It's Barbara in Australia.
Hey, Barbara.
Hi. Oh, okay. I just need to take a breath.
Take your breath. Gosh, it's been a long time.
I've been listening and I've been here. Wow. This morning's call and today's call on open air have just been so great, and I've just related to a lot of not necessarily the specific content, but just the process. What do I want to? I've had a situation where a sort of dramatic change in a connection with someone that I've had the connection with for a long time. It's been a very supportive one, and the change sort of came about partly due to me sort of responding to something she was sharing that was going on in her life, and I didn't see it really clearly at the time, but I was definitely responding from a place of projection. She pointed that out to me a couple of times and then said,
that's the teller right there, isn't it?
Absolutely. And over quite a long period, and then it's just meant that she has just really changed how much contact we have. We were friends, and then we also discovered that we were both part of this sort of peer-based support community, and we started doing that sort of more, like just, swapping phone time with each other, where you just, a bit like, not
it's like
reflective.
Yeah.
A bit like reflective listening, but you don't reflect back. You just listen, really, and with, you know, love and attention. Anyway, it's felt like a really big loss to me. Also that mm-hmm. this person for the last sort of 10 or 12 years has also been going through a health journey. And so we've been in, you know, hers hasn't been quite to the same degree as mine, but it's meant she's had to be on her own a lot and at home a lot. And so her availability was sort of, yeah, we had a very regular connection and her health has dramatically improved. And that's also part of the change. Anyway, what's happening for me is that it's touched on, obviously, some two really core kind of triggers or, you know, old wounds or whatever. Like, the first one is that I feel like I really fucked up or I made a mistake. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wasn't perfect. And, you know, I'm sort of a one on the Enneagram, so being on my modus operandi is sort of to be beyond reproach. And so the combination of that happening and that resulting in a sort of big loss, you know.
Yeah.
So the other one is sort of feeling rejected. And I've been aware of both of those things. And working sort of, I felt, yeah, what's happening is that it's mainly coming out in my dreams. So during the day, if things come up, I try to disidentify, stay with sensations, stop, you know, fueling the storyline. And then at night, I've just been having these, you know, really distressing, I've been sort of reliving every rejection I've ever had. In Technicolor. So, and I woke up this morning from one, and I got some clarity listening to this morning's call. Like I could see something else I've been doing where I sort of feel like I've started questioning all my friendships. Like with this feeling of like, if they haven't contacted me for a while, I've done something wrong. So this morning was great. I saw that clearly. I thought, oh, okay, I know where that's coming from. And I can work with that. It's not, you know, I don't need to ring all of my friends and check with them if I've done something wrong. But, yeah, working with the dreaming.
Yeah,
which
well,
feels like...
yeah. I think, Barbara, you laid it out perfectly. Right? During the day, you are, we could say, dealing with it. And then at night, you have no choice about it. So it's going to just take over and run the show, right?
Yeah.
And so one of the things that can could cause us to question is, are you actually addressing it during the day or more doing techniques to avoid it?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking that.
You got there too?
Yeah, like am I doing sort of spiritual bypassing? Is that
And so we can take comfort in the fact that we don't get to do that, right? If we don't face it during the day, it'll be there at night. So we're going to face it one way or the other. And so how are you approaching that? So you mentioned being in type one, and so there's a person who lives in horror of making a mistake. And then obviously things have happened in your life where there has been rejection over whatever, something that somebody's decided that you were doing wrong. and so how are you taking care of? How are you being with those folks, or what clarity are you finding about those processes?
Yeah, I think I have done a bit of recording and listening, and you know, I usually do a two-handed recording and sort of reassuring that person that she's not, you know, she's good, she hasn't done anything wrong. She's not a bad person. It feels like, I don't know, maybe there's a very, very old, early thing that happened in my life that I don't think I ever did really address. It was a trauma with a teacher. And, mm-hmm. I think that's probably where that needing to be perfect came from.
Uh-huh.
And I have over the years sort of thought, yeah, I've never really fully brought that into conscious, like I've never really felt that. I have a sort of a memory of it, and I know I've been told the story of it.
So that might that might be a good place to look, right?
Yeah, I can feel this emotion come up when I do talk about this, what happens, and it's like talking to that little person.
Who very possibly has been waiting all this time, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've shared it here once before because somebody else years ago rang up with this, a teacher put me in a garbage bin as punishment for something and just left me there for a long time. And, yeah, I mean, if there's something that's going to make you feel like you can never make a mistake again, that's got to be it.
Yeah. 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 So it sounds like spending a good deal of time with that little person
would be
an important thing to do.
Yep.
And what that's of course going to lead you to is exactly what you've been talking about. Whoever it is who said, okay, that kid is not a good survival strategy. Okay. I'm never going to be like that. Nobody's ever going to do that to me. And we just move on. And then, of course, somebody leaves that person behind, and then somebody leaves that person behind. And here we go, into a stage of life where we're not even questioning those things anymore. We're just operating out of the last person standing. And that's me, and that's who I am, but all these other aspects are still there, right? Waiting for somebody to come back and embrace them. Not that they need to have any kind of center stage, but they just need to be welcomed for who they are and how they are.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like she just needs to be held.
Yes.
Or something.
Well, I would encourage you to find out, because here's my experience with little people. We see somebody who is so traumatized, which surely she was. But the real struggle is with the one who survived her. Because as traumatized as she was by that, as miserable as an experience as it was, she's still a little kid. Right? So as soon as she gets out of that garbage bin, right, she wants to get back to life. It's somebody else who holds the story, who suffers over it.
Okay.
Can you get a sense of that?
I don't know. I mean, I know that after that happened, I used to cry at the bus stop. My mum used to have to force me to get on the bus.
Somebody
grasp that there's a little kid that just got back out and was okay.
Well, all I'm pointing at with her, so whoever wound up after her, whoever was next in line, was really afraid, became really afraid, right?
Yeah.
And afraid of authority and afraid of getting in trouble.
Yeah.
Right? And so, I'm not encouraging you to take, you know, leapfrog across everybody's experience, but just to get a sense of it, it's very likely that the real suffering is with aspects who survived that.
Yes, so, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So it's not, she's probably not the one struggling with the loss of your friend or with having, you know, been less than stellar or perfect in the, but it's more likely the person, the young, very young person, terrified of exactly that. I'm going to do something wrong and I'm going to get rejected.
It's the young person that was crying at the bus stop and didn't want to go back to school.
And they will guide you to other aspects, right? Because somebody survived that, right? And probably several stages along the way, but somebody became somebody who is really capable of paying very close attention. So mistakes aren't made.
Yeah.
Right? And I would guess, I would project for myself, that person would lean more toward anxiety than the out-and-out fear that that younger person feels. And somebody who can make their way through the world and get along with people and reads the room and that sort of thing. But so, you know, what was it like by the time you became a teenager? Who was there then? You know, somebody, I bet somebody pretty devoted to getting it right under all circumstances and suffered hideously when it didn't go that way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this might be, you know, this might be an opportunity to, you know, take a stroll down memory lane and just being open to, and who else? And who else? And who else?
Yeah. Yeah, it feels like a bit of an archaeological dig.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Although the good news for us is they're all perfectly current, right? They're all operating in our lives all the time.
The good news or the not so good news.
Yeah, exactly. Except it is good news because we want to welcome them. We want to embrace them. And find out, you know, I mean, all of these characteristics that have developed as survival techniques as you moved into adulthood, they've all served you really, really well.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. And so even though we would say fear, really? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because when we're in a situation where we, you know, we're uncertain and we don't know, and that kind of fear could take really good care of us, actually. It's probably why, you know, you don't go down dark alleys by yourself or don't wind up giving all of your money to some stranger on the internet.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much, Sherry. It's just been incredibly helpful.
Good. All right. Well, keep us in the loop.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Barbara.
Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks for joining us, Barbara. And Sherry, I think we have time for at least one more caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Kim calling from Vashon.
Hey, Kim.
Hey. I'm kind of doing cue practice, but I actually have a question. And it has to do with the interviewing process, actually, because mm-hmm. I'm still having a bit of resistance to engaging with that. Like, I'm really comfortable with the two-hander recording, and I get stuck with the interviewing. No, sorry, my four-legged Sangha is going a little bonkers here. Hang on one second.
Did they just chew somebody up?
Well, it's the dog next door that gets them going, so there we go. I don't know where the recording part comes into the interviewing process, or if it even does.
No.
Oh, that's extremely helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they're two really quite different practices.
Okay.
And you know, as you go along, you look to see kind of who is really comfortable with the two-handed. And often because, and this is just a possibility, I'm not saying this is the case, but there can be more sense of control, or there can be a greater possibility of some identification slipping by in the two-handed recording. A lot of people will experience, like in the right hand, that person, you know, is talking away, and very often the person doing the recording will already have reached a conclusion by the time that person finishes talking. In fact, we got to the two-handed and the encouragement to do all of the steps in it because people were just short-circuiting. Somebody would start talking and they go, "Oh yeah, I know what that is," and right, the person who in the right hand just gets left there once again because you know, somebody else, you know, the me,
yes.
The I, yeah, yes. Just says, "Oh yeah, I got that," and goes on. So the difference with the interviewing, and the reason that that I'm so excited about that as a technique, not more so. They each have their own niche, right? Mm-hmm. And their unique contribution to practice. But with the interviewing, what you're doing with the interviewing is having an aspect of the personality go deeper and deeper into itself.
Okay.
Which is a unique opportunity. Okay? Because ordinarily, you know, if you have say you're aware of a 16-year-old that you have who's, I don't know what she's got going, but anyway, you have a sense of her, you know, it's how I was in high school and blah 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 blah. Okay? Mm-hmm. And you know who she is, and you have this relationship with her. In to the degree that you could describe her and talk about her, tell stories about her. Mm-hmm. But in the interviewing, she actually tells you about herself.
Mm.
And that's something that we just ordinarily don't have access to. Because somebody is always in a position, basically, of projecting onto somebody else, telling their story, projecting. Okay. But to have her be able to literally tell her story and to be facilitated into deeper and deeper places, that's a rare opportunity.
So let me give you an example, concrete, and maybe you can just put me give me a little push with it. There's somebody who feels really hurt, and it was something that came up last week, and she just was so hurt and felt so discouraged. And so when I start working with that, I would say, so it sounds like you're hurt. Can you tell me more? And go into
I wouldn't even say it sounds like you're hurt.
Okay, so you don't say that. Okay.
Well, it's just that with something like that, you know, I've already projected labeled. So it would be much more open-ended. You know, well, how are you doing? Tell me what's going on.
Oh.
And then you're facilitating her. She says, "Well, you know, the thing that happened with so that really hurt my feelings." "Oh, okay, yeah. So it hurt your feelings. Can you tell me? Can you tell me what that was like?" Or, just as if you were talking to a friend and really trying to facilitate that person to help her to get to a deeper place in herself, because she's been trained to say, "Well, I feel hurt."
Right.
And then that's that. But what does that mean?
like what's under that? Yeah, to get to and to help her get clear about what's going on with her, to help her get past underneath the label.
Okay, and there's no, like, is there a place for a recording after this process of, like, an insight?
Oh, sure.
Of an insight.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. But it's not, in my world anyway, it's not an actual part of the interviewing process. So it's just, if you imagine that you went to a therapist,
mm-hmm.
and it's that kind of process, right, where somebody is just asking, reflecting, and drawing out, clarifying. So are you saying, so tell me more about, so I'm not, so what, yeah?
Yeah.
That's what you're doing with aspects of the personality.
And then maybe there's a revelation, maybe there's an insight that comes with that, or, I mean,
yeah,
I guess it's not
really. You want to be careful not to make
not
it about
goal.
You.
Yeah, not a goal-oriented thing. Right.
That's right.
Oh,
yeah, because if the therapist, you had a therapist and the therapist went, oh, that's great, I see, oh, I got to write that down. You say, whoa, wait a minute, I thought this was about me. Yeah. Now,
all right,
you very well could have, I can practically guarantee you're going to have insights, but it's going to be coming from a place of helping you to be more sensitive to that aspect.
Okay. This is good. Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're so welcome. All right. See you later.
So happy.
So happy.
Thanks for joining us, Kim. And Sherry, we've come to past the top of the hour, and it's been fabulous.
I've loved every minute of it. Thank you so very much.
You too, and thanks to everyone. Let's do it again sometime.
All right. And in the meantime, let's go happy.
Go happy. Thank you.